What happens when a Hall of Fame member of the Bloodline has to defend their title twice in one night while also battling their own inner demons? Take a seat as me and my co-host Jose Osegueda look back at WrestleMania 10. What's going on, and welcome back to City Wrestling Radio Retro Reviews. I'm your host, Corey Smith, being joined, as always, on this trip through time and space and big sweaty guys with my co-host, Mr. Jose Osegueda.
Hey, how are you doing, Mr. Smith, and how is everybody out there doing? One thing that I'm looking forward to is finishing this show without any botches.
Do you mean by us or by the wrestlers?
Because good question. I'm hoping that at least our show is accomplishing a story and finishing with satisfaction for all around.
Well, I'm glad you said it, because today it's WrestleMania season and we're taking a look at WrestleMania 10. This completes whole 10 years of WrestleMania. It's kind of a retrospective for them and kind of in the entire show.
Yep.
So last year, was it last year or the year before we reviewed WrestleMania 9?
I think it was last year.
So we're going from 9 to 10. We didn't even plan for that. But nonetheless, WrestleMania 10, what did you think of the show, Jose?
Okay, let me put on my 1995. Is that right? 1994?
Four.
My 1994 glasses on. Nothing has happened. I've never seen a ladder match ever in my life. For the main events or the main attractions, very cool, very nice, a lot of fun. But we know 90s WWF, and there's a lot of, you know, cartoonish characters happening. So that kind of put a lull in everything.
Well, for me, it wasn't even the amount. It was a good show. Good show overall. From start to finish, it was very easy to watch. I wasn't sitting there going like, oh my God, I just watched the best wrestling show of my life. But like you said, you know, for 1994, I was only 7 years old when this came out. So, you know, to watch, this is like the peak of my childhood right here. So to go back and watch it is really cool. And it does showcase a lot of the guys from around the time. And the only problem I had was kind of the finishes of the show. A lot of them were just kind of just out of nowhere and sudden and
yeah, very much so. Did I miss something from storytelling, like a build-up? They were very sudden and very, I don't know, lackluster, anticlimactic.
Yeah, definitely. And a lot of the matches just seemed like 1, 2, 3, 10.
Yeah,
you know. So let's get into it. We kicked off WrestleMania 10 with Little Richard. That's not his voice. I'm sorry for trying to sing Little Richard, singing the national anthem. This was fun. Good for him, right?
It's good. He's always good. Little Richard's always great.
He was great. The only thing I was just laughing at is some of these people in the crowd, you can tell they've never seen a black person perform in their life. And they were just like, what is going on? These people, a lot of these people are just way too white. I'm just
it was a very white show.
Very white show.
Yeah.
Vince runs down the card because we have Vince McMahon and Jerry the King Lawler on commentary, and it's just, oh man, it's Jerry Lawler. It's horrible on commentary because he does the same thing he's been doing since day one.
Vince is equally as horrible, and not in the same sense as the King is, but in the sense where he's not really a good play-by-play guy. I always thought he was great. Looking back now and listening to him, he's just, oh no, look at the punch. Oh no, look at the elbow.
What's going on here?
Yeah.
I love the sense, like, it's like this fake sense of amazement by Vince. He's just like, what is going on here? I'm like, you know exactly what's going on here, Vince McMahon.
Yeah. And he never calls like simple moves like an arm drag. Oh, really took him down there.
What a maneuver.
Yeah.
It's actually where I started. If I ever did commentary, that's how I probably start. I'm like, oh, what a great slam by Luscious Jackson or whatever. I don't know. I work at an indie show apparently in Philadelphia. I don't know. We kicked it off with the opening match of the night. Owen Hart defeating Bret Hart to become the best Hart in a Stu Hart traditional mat rules match. No, kidding. But
say that five times fast.
Owen Hart defeating Bret Hart in a singles match. About 20 minutes and 21 seconds. This is definitely a great match, and it was an okay way to open the show, but I don't know. Like, I felt like this match could have been better suited as a second or third match on the show, at least in my opinion.
Well, okay, here's the problem. The problem is you don't have anything as good to open the show. There's no proper hot opener for this.
That's true. Were you going to put Doink and Dink on to open the show?
Please, no. Please.
There was a lot of Hart wrestling match, a lot of Hart mat based wrestling. Stu Hart, God, he would have been proud of these two boys. In fact, I think he was still alive. He was still alive at the time. Yeah, he was very proud.
He was
very proud of, or he was just shaking his head like, I wouldn't have done it like that. What are you guys doing? Stupid, you guys could have done it better.
Come on, just some grit.
What do you call it? Owen did hit like a nice tilt-a-whirl. Reversing into a tombstone to Bret. We have Owen working on the injured knee of Bret during this match. Another massive tombstone by Owen. But even though it was a great match, the end saw Bret going for a victory roll. Owen just catches him and gets the pin and the win. This is going to be the story kind of throughout the night, like I said. Good matches, but shit finishes. Jose, what do you think? Do you think this is like the right call for Owen Hart to defeat Bret on a night when Bret is set to win the title?
If you're telling long-term stories, yes. And if you're... See, here's the thing. This didn't come off as a WrestleMania.
No.
Right? Am I right?
This is a roadblock at best.
No, but it wasn't... 94. I mean... I don't remember how we viewed 9, but I have a feeling that was much like this, where the big time spectacular that is WrestleMania wasn't there.
Yeah. Well, even WrestleMania 9, you know, like they're at Caesar's Palace and, you know, everyone's dressed in it's the world's largest toga party, as they kept calling it over and over again.
Yeah.
And
it's unheard of to do a WrestleMania inside a stadium, inside an arena nowadays. Yes. All manias are outdoors in stadiums, big time, big time, big time. This one felt it was the venue. The venue had a lot to do with it.
Wouldn't it be cool though if for like WrestleMania 50, if it's still around, which I think it will be, Madison Square Garden, do it. Like just sell the tickets at like a hot dollars, fucking raise the price, jack the prices up, just sell it out for the most richest people and have a hot crowd. I'm just saying.
I mean, yeah. I'm not saying that anyways, Philly isn't going to be hot. It's going to be hot.
Oh, Philly's going to be hot. Let's see. Did you see? Yeah, Philly's going to be good. Next up, we have the Hair Club for Men promo with Cy Spaulding.
Ah, nailed it.
We were talking about that the other day.
Oh, no. Did you say Spaulding?
Isn't it Spaulding?
No,
Spurling. It's Spurling.
Spurling.
Cy Spurling.
There you go. You got it now. Yep. You got it.
So this apparently he gave Howard Finkel some hair.
Yeah.
that was totally a wig, right?
Oh yeah, 100%.
That was totally a wig.
Yeah. Because
I don't remember like him having hair for long. He looked good though with a full head of hair.
But you could tell it was a rug, but that's because you're so used to, you know, the Fink looking a certain way.
No, definitely. And that was another thing about this night is that they had like, I don't want to say like, I would say like C/D-list celebrities there throughout the night, except for Jenny Garth and Burt Reynolds at the end. Like they're legit. Okay. You know,
I wonder where along the Burt Reynolds career, is this before striptease or after? I think it was before.
Don't remember striptease.
That was that Demi Moore movie when he was trying to make his comeback.
Okay. Okay.
I remember Demi Moore being a stripper. Sorry.
Next up, your favorite match of the night. Bam Bam Bigelow and Luda Vachon defeating Doink the Clown and Dink the Clown. Apparently, this match was supposed to happen at Survivor Series 94, but there was some mix-up and it just didn't. So it got moved to WrestleMania. This match was supposed to be comedy. Okay, 1994 glasses. Was this comedy?
It was supposed to be.
This is just like, this is the... this is bad. And it's not even the worst match of the night, in my opinion. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because, like, it's Doink and Dink, and they're facing Luna and Bam Bam. And, yeah, Doink is in there to start the match. And I'm thinking, like, oh, this is going to be, like, Finley. Like, he's going to get in the ring and not tag Hornswoggle because he wants to protect his little buddy. No. Yeah. Doink goes in there, tags out quickly to Dink. Like,
oh, my God. What? Get in there, buddy. You can do and it.
He's getting there. But it's funny because it's a mixed tag match. So Luna has to get in there, which I hate these mixed tag matches because they are just essentially two separate singles matches going on at the same time.
Yeah, and it makes the match come to a screeching halt.
Yeah, it's like, oh, he tagged out. I got to tag out too.
Right. When you tag out, it's like, okay, time up. Time up. Okay, exactly. Bring in your sub. Bring in your sub. Okay, ready? Go.
Not fair. Not fair. He's too big. Get the other one. But I will give it to Dink because he was probably the most athletic person in this match.
And entertaining.
And entertaining because he is just running circles around the ring, running circles around Luna. And given they're going a little slower. Mm-hmm. But and Doink, I mean, this isn't, what was it? This is not Matt Bourne. You know what I mean?
Right.
So like this is, I can't remember who this was, but he just wasn't in the best shape. And yeah.
Yeah,
I guess less to be said about this match, the better. Eventually, Bam Bam hit a flying headbutt off the top rope to Doink, and he gets the pinfall victory. Okay, so then after the match, it's weird because Luna and Bam Bam starts beating down on Dink. It's like, okay, they're beating down on Dink. And then Doink gets up for a save, but then they start beating down on Doink. But then Doink gets a comeback. I'm like, is this match still going or what's going on?
Dude, it was an extension of the match.
Like they were having a back and forth after the match.
Yeah, and did you notice that when they had Dink on the floor, Bam Bam and Luna went to do a splash from opposite ends, and I think Dink was supposed to move out of the way, but Luna still caught him, and then he got up like nothing. He's no sold it. He was like, I'm okay. I'm gonna get out of here.
Well, Dink's a trooper, man.
Trooper.
What did you anything you want to add about this match or?
No, please God, no.
Okay. Next up, oh my God, it's the president. We're not going to say his name,
okay?
But the president,
no, Phil Plinton.
Phil Plinton is in the house, and which was funny because this guy kind of looks like Bill Clinton.
He looked really close to it, yeah.
Pretty convincing. Like if somebody never saw Bill Clinton, if somebody never watched, like, because you and I, we have watched probably hours of news with Bill Clinton's face on it throughout our lifetime.
Yeah. Arsenio Hall show. Play the saxophone.
Yeah, exactly. But for somebody who hadn't, I could definitely see them being be like, wait, is that actually Bill Clinton at WrestleMania? Why is he with that wrestler?
Until they got close and saw that wig.
That's true. You could see the fabric lining.
Yeah. Some of the guy's hair coming out in the back.
Next up, literally, I have to say this is the worst match of the night. Falls Count Anywhere match. Macho Man defeating Evil Crush in 9 minutes and 49 seconds in a 1990s Last Man Standing match.
It looked very Die Hard.
what do you mean by 1990s Falls Count Anywhere? Well, I'm glad you asked.
Oh my God.
First person watching at home. So apparently this match, I didn't listen, but when I was replaying it the second time, just having it on the background, they explained the rules at the beginning and I was confused. Even Jerry Lawler was confused. So apparently you have to get a pin on your opponent outside the ring. And then once you do that, you have 60 seconds for you to get back in the ring and the other person not to get back in the ring in order to win.
Huh? Say that again.
So, pin the person outside.
Okay.
And if your opponent, the person you pinned on the outside, doesn't get back in the ring within 60 seconds, then you are then declared the winner.
Okay. So a last man standing, false counts anywhere, no DQ, hang your opponent by the foot match?
I guess, man, because this was just like, and it's funny because I think you could have won by pinfall in the ring just like regular.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was even a point where Vince is like, What is he doing? Why isn't he pinning him in the ring?
Yeah.
So, okay. Let's get
to, Yeah.
Let's get into the match. Savage goes right after Crush as he's coming into the ring. Crush gets a pin on Randy very quickly. And then, like I said, Jerry Lawler is sitting there like, oh, great. The fastest match I've ever seen. Ha, 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 ha. And that's when Vince is like, no, he has to get back in the ring. He has 60 seconds because these are the rules I thought up when I was doing a bunch of lines.
Taking a shit.
Exactly. So, okay, Randy gets back in the ring. Crush then ties Macho Man in the corner. Fuji gives Crush a handful of salt, but Macho is the wiser and makes Crush throw the salt in his own eyes. Good on him. There was a very, very, very dumb spot where there was a body splash, an elbow drop to Crush. Then Macho Man, this is the part where I was talking about, instead of pinning him in the ring, he rolls him to the outside to pin him and then tries to get back in for the 60 count. Even Vince was like, what are you doing?
Okay, in Macho Man's defense, he was the only one that remembered the rules. That's part of the rules. He was the only one. No one remembered the rules.
Well, I don't think anyone told anyone to get a pin in the ring. Well, because in a false count anywhere, you could false count anywhere.
But how is he supposed to get back in the ring if he's already in it? Macho Man is the only one that knew the rules.
And it's funny because these matches are like Macho Man is supposed to be the type of guy that structures his stuff out like, hey, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, you know, brother. Mm-hmm. And it's just bad. So then they battle to the backstage area. And then Macho Man, like, he knocks out Crush and then, like, ties him, like, hog ties his feet, hangs him upside down. He tries to tie Crush upside down, but like the second Macho Man lets go, the knot just like unties and Crush falls. His feet come loose and he's still just laying there.
Crush is, you know, 300 pounds, but it's Macho true. Man forgot how to tie a knot at the time. You could tell too, he's fumbling around like, oh no, how do I do that tie again? Oh,
he's probably here, Crush, hold this, brother.
Put your finger right here so I can go, bow.
So then Macho Man gets the pin on Crush. Like I said, gets back in the ring, and this is not a fun match to watch. How can you justify these rules, Jose?
You can't. Yeah. Oh my God. But like I said, big up to Macho Man for being the only one that remembered the rules to begin with.
And I think to add to our conversation that we had the other day about Yokozuna, I just want to put this out there. Mm-hmm. Kona Crush is accompanied by Mr. Fuji, who is waving a Japanese flag. So none of us assume that Kona Crush is Japanese, but we all assume that Yokozuna is Japanese.
But they make it well known that Crush is Hawaiian.
Hey, brother, I'm Crush. I'm here to stab you on the mat, brother.
Crush sounds like more fake Hawaiian than the turtle from Finding Nemo.
Oh my God, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, but you will notice that they mention where people are from except Yokozuna.
Yeah. No.
Like they didn't mention his, you know, his country of origin or.
They're not from Mount Fuji. Yeah. Yokozuna. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. That'd be good. Well, he's supposed to be like, no, I guess he's not supposed to be anything because he is. E Honda was based off him, or was it vice versa?
Good question. We got to check release dates on that.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, but more likely than not,
Honda based off him, I think.
Oh, most likely than not, Vince McMahon has been known to copy, pop culture and put it into his product a lot.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Yokozuna didn't start wrestling for WWE. Like, you know, I mean, he was wrestling in the late 80s. He was thinner, but, or it could have been one of those things where it's just two people thought of the same thing at the same time, you know?
Yeah, or they both copied from sumo culture.
Yeah.
That's the easy answer.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like two people copied sumo culture but kind of created the similar characters.
Right, right.
Next up, we have scenes from WWF Fan Fest 1994. It was like, dude, this brought me back because I never been to WWF Fan Fest, but this was like an old school convention if I've ever seen one.
Oh yeah, like, that it looked like it was at the Cow Palace or some shit like that.
Definitely, like I was ready to get in that Hasbro line. I'm like, dude, I want to buy some figures. Let's do this.
Get in the Hasbro line and buy some figures.
You ever see the thumb wrestlers?
See, that's the thing is I heard about them like only until recently because I saw somebody selling them on a like Facebook Marketplace. Yeah. And I was like, what WWE Superstar figures for like those are cheap and they're in the package. And I realized they're thumb wrestlers.
Yeah. You stick your finger in their ass and then wrestle your buddy.
And but their legs like come out though, right? Like
their it was their arms and legs like in a parachuting form. Oh my God. And you stuck your thumb in their ass.
Well,
welcome to the 80s and 90s.
Welcome to the world of the 80s. Next up, we have a look back at WrestleMania 4. Because I forgot to mention this because a lot throughout the night, they're just taking looking back at scenes of different WrestleManias. But it's like 30-second clips.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, WrestleMania 4, when Hogan battled. Okay, next. Okay, next. Next, we have Alondra Blaze versus, I guess, the returning Leilani Kai.
Returning? Is that what they said?
I don't know. I thought she was gone for a while. I thought they like it was like a match like she did like because she was from the she was at WrestleMania 1, right? Oh, Leilani Kai.
I don't remember. It was Wendy Richter against.
Well, that was that. Was that during the Spider? Look, we're gonna look it up now. Let's see.
Yeah, the first WrestleMania was the Cyndi Lauper WrestleMania, right? Yes. And Cyndi Lauper hooked up with Wendy Richter. Was it against Moolah or Leilani Kai?
Wendy Richter and Cyndi Lauper defeated Leilani Kai and the
Fabulous. Oh, there you go. Look at the big memory on your host.
The big, You know, so I do think it was like she took, I don't think she was with the WWF from WrestleMania 1 to then.
No.
Could be completely wrong and, you know. Completely turning off some people from the show. Be like, this guy doesn't know anything about Leilani Kai. How could this guy not know about Leilani Kai, dude? Dakota Kai's mom.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I would love if they did a Dakota Kai, Leilani Kai segment. Like it's her, not her mom, but her aunt. I'd rather go on. Leilani Kai looks more like an aunt.
No. She had to give up her baby at birth because she had to go on the road and wrestle.
Okay, there we go. There we go. It's origin story for Dakota Kai.
Yes.
But basically, this match is just a lot of hair pulling, like a lot of hair pulling and hair tossing. And there was a weird part where like Alondra threw Leilani down on the mat and she goes for a three count, but the ref counts two, despite Kai not kicking out or anything. Mm-hmm. And Alondra just kind of looks at the ref, says count three. And I don't know what was said, but then she hits a German and the ref counts three. This is in 3 minutes and 20 seconds.
Ref said, we don't want a 10-man tag. Relax.
It seemed weird to me. Like either she forgot the finish or he forgot the finish. I don't know. It just seemed messed up at the end.
I'm telling you, they were extending time in all the matches because they didn't want to see that 10-man tag.
So they were like, go 30 more seconds. Just 30 more seconds. Vince is like, no, I calculate up. If this match goes 48 seconds long, this match goes a minute and 13. This match goes 5 minutes. This match goes this. It'll all add up. what did you think of this match, Jose? Anything to add?
Anything bad? Yes, all of it.
No, anything to add.
Anything to add, sorry. It seems to me that this is one of the reasons why Alondra Blaze went on to become Medusa and throw the title in the trash. The only time they brought her out were during big events. They needed a spectacle, and back then the women were treated almost as good as little people. They were just side attractions, like a sideshow to the show itself.
But I will say this, like if we didn't have people like Alondra Blaze, people like Leilani Kai who were wrestling at that time, not just being a complete like sex gimmick, you know what I mean, at the time, or just eye candy, it really was kind of like they were walking so the women today could run, essentially,
Sure. But, the women have before the 90s extreme era, the attitude era, all that, there were a lot of the ladies were, they were treated as sideshow attractions, but at the same time, they were real athletes. Once that extreme era started, then that's when you got a little bit more sexualized and everything went, step on the gas from 0 to 100.
Next up, we have a look back at WrestleMania 5. Anything? Do we remember anything about WrestleMania? Which one was that again?
Enough. Okay. Three is Andre and Hogan. Four is the tournament. Macho wins that.
Five is isn't five Hogan and Warrior?
Is it five?
Let's see. Now we're gonna look.
Jesus Christ. is it when Ric Flair comes back? Oh no, he comes back for the tournament.
Oh no, this is the Mega Powers Explode.
Okay.
That makes sense. Yeah, I think that's when Macho Man defeats Hogan, right, for the title.
Later on, yeah. I don't think Macho Man ever beat Hogan at a Mania.
That is when the main event. I'm scrolling down for a future. This is just research. Jesus Christ, 14 matches on that show.
Whoa.
Yeah, you're right. Hogan defeated Savage to retain. The Red Rooster was on it. Bad News Brown. Yeah, there's a lot of matches here that are under about 5 minutes. So,
oh my God, it was the Superstars of Saturday Night.
Pretty much.
See, that it sounds like that's when Mania started going, or the wrestling business as a whole started going on a downturn.
Yeah, WrestleMania 5, you think?
Yeah. Because four was huge.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Definitely. Next up, we have Todd Pettengale with Rhonda Shear. Was the Up All Night, the show was called, on USA?
Very much so. She holds a very special place in my maturity. I'm sure. Influence.
I would have had a poster of her if I was in the 90s. I will say that.
Every Saturday, 11 o'clock at night.
She's backstage with Todd Pettengale, and I can't remember what they were talking about, but then HBK comes up, and she starts rubbing his chest hair seductively, and that's
when
Burt Reynolds just walks in and just goes, "Get out of here, kid. I got her." And then HBK is like, "What?
He even goes, "Hey, she's mine."
I thought it was great, though, because I would have loved to eventually have ended up something like some physicality between the two.
Yeah.
But I think Bert was hurt, like, because at the end of the night he had his hand all bandaged up for some reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So next up. Oh,
maybe they at rehearsal he messed it up.
Could be. Next up, we have Men on a Mission. That's Mabel and Mo with Oscar defeating the Quebecers. That's Quebecer Jacques and Quebecer Pierre. With Johnny Polo in their corner. I did love Johnny Polo on 93 Superstars. I'm not going to lie. Mm-hmm. I watched a little bit of it a couple of years ago, and he is just fabulous. The soon-to-be Raven.
Yes.
But Men on a Mission, ooh. Man, I don't know. I don't know about these two. I could see the gimmick, but like at the same time, like you just have some big fat guy who, like, yeah, he looks like young and like hip for the early 90s, I guess. Mm-hmm. But then Mo looked like he was 50 years old, dude.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, how could anyone get down with Mo? Like, he looked like he would be at the corner, like the guy you see, like when you're buying groceries, like in front of you in line, like, you know, ready to like fix your tires or something. Yeah. He just did not look fun and hip, but yet he's sitting up there doing, hey, hi.
Yeah. No, it looked like he was going to grab his back at any minute. Like, oh no, I'm stuck.
Well, I think it's funny because like he dyed his goatee blonde. So yeah. It looked gray. Like to mm-hmm. me, like I saw
yeah,
it
gray. Yeah, to me too. Yeah. Yeah. It felt gray. It felt like he was way, it felt like that guy that's older and he says all the hip slang to all the neighborhood youths.
I feel like Mabel's like, just like, man, this is my uncle that like he's my ride, so like he has to hang out.
Yeah, guys, this is my stepdad.
Like Oscar's like, man, like you couldn't get anyone else to drive us, Mabel. He's like, no, dude, it has to be Mo. Like
he's the one buying the drinks. Sorry, he's getting the beers. He's getting the coolers. If we're talking about 90s.
Until I'm Big Daddy V, I can't drive anywhere.
Yeah.
Next. So we have a double suplex to Mabel. Quebecers get Mabel down for a two count. A double mom splash to one of the Quebecers. Because I don't know who's who. They're both dressed like Mounties, but their song says they're not Mounties. And I don't know who's who.
So. Okay. I do because I remember Jacques and Raymond, the Cousteau brothers.
Okay.
And the other Cousteau was not there. They have a new Quebecer.
Yeah, man. I don't know. A lot of rigmarole. And then eventually, somehow, there's a count out. And I don't even know how. but it just it gets called and it's over.
Yeah. What?
Oh, and then on top of that, Men of the Mission, who weren't the champions in the first place, didn't win the titles with the countout victory, grab the titles and hold them up high. And even Mabel's holding them up like, should I be holding this right now? I don't know.
Okay, that's a story tradition. That's a story tradition. When it comes to title matches, all the faces always forget the way you win. Because, I don't know, countless of times, the faces come up and they grab the title. They're like, look, I won. The ref goes, no. That was a count out. Don't you know
that? No, that was two count. What? Oh, yeah, count out. Yeah. Man, yeah, it's just like Lex Luger, you know what I mean? When he I can't remember who it was. It was one of the SummerSlams when he got that count out victory on someone.
Yeah.
And everyone came up and like held him up and celebrated. He's like, he's not holding the title, but he's just like, I won.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I won.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, look back at WrestleMania 6.
Speaking of the devil.
Which one was 6?
Oh no! Speaking of the devil, is next we have Yokozuna versus Lex Luger.
Yes.
I don't remember six. Jesus, we should have done some research.
That was a Warrior and a Hogan. I just looked at it.
Okay.
Now I'm on the Wikipedia site, so now I get to click back and forth between the numbers.
Sweet.
So now we have Yokozuna defeating Lex Luger via disqualification to retain the WWF Championship in 14 minutes and 40 seconds. First off, we have Donnie Wahlberg and Rhonda Shear coming out. Rhonda Shear, she's the special guest timekeeper for this match.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. They're just trying to get celebrities in there. And Donnie Wahlberg, this next match, man, is presented for Woodfall. Okay. It is for the WWF Championship, if you know what I mean, baby.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you're following along, that is a spot on impression of Donnie Wahlberg introducing the match. Spot on. You can't get better than that.
I was just laughing my ass off because Donnie Wahlberg, like, I think he thinks like he's one of the guys that night because he's like, even at the end of the show when Brett wins the title, he comes out, he's like, yeah, Brett, you won, man. Yeah,
I'm one of the boys.
Like, can somebody lift me into the ring, please? Because I'm like half the size of somebody's leg over here.
Maybe just call me new kid in the locker room.
Oh man. And then apparently both these matches, I didn't know this, but both these title matches tonight have special guest referees, which I watched the episodes for four episodes of Raw.
As you do, yes.
And there was nothing. So we didn't even talk about why this happened, though. Why was Yokozuna defending the title twice in one night? Mm-hmm. And that's because during the, 94 Royal Rumble,
yes,
both Bret Hart and Lex Luger fell out simultaneously. And then there was some sort of way they figured out who was going to wrestle Yokozuna first. But then I guess to make it fair, Bret had to face Owen. So he got a second match. Just, I don't know. In my opinion, I think Owen should have fought for that title that night. It should have been a tournament. Well, no, I'm just saying, like,
match at the beginning should have been for the title.
Or the match at the beginning should have been for the spot
for
the
title match. Shot. Yeah.
And then you could have done something like, oh, maybe, you know, I don't know. It just, I still don't agree with Owen winning in the opening match.
Yeah.
So Mr. Perfect is announced as the special guest referee of this match. And wow, this match was slow. And I don't know. This match is up for worst match of the night for sure. Because this was, there was literally like a 5 minute nerve block hold from Yokozuna to Lex Luger.
Yeah. That's the style.
Well, I mean, this guy's kind of at the end of his career, right?
Who Yokozuna? I guess, yeah.
Tail end, I guess, because he is getting he's pretty big.
Yeah, he would just be bigger and bigger as time went on. Yeah.
So Luger eventually starts to build somewhat of a comeback. We have multiple running clotheslines to Yoko. We have a body slam and a bionic elbow to Yokozuna. That's what Hornet.
Quick note on the bionic elbow. Do you remember the gimmick of that?
Because wasn't it because he was like in a car accident or something?
Yeah, he was in some type of accident. He had a steel rod put into his forearm, so he used that bionic forearm everywhere.
as a heel.
Yeah, yeah.
But okay, did he actually have a bio? I think he actually did, though, didn't he?
He had the scar. He would show the scar.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, it's just funny. It's like, when he's a heel, it's like, oh, no, that bastard. But it's like, when he's not, it's like, yeah, fuck yeah, USA, man. Eventually, Cornette and Fuji get on the apron and get involved. I do love Jim Cornette in this match because he knew what to do. He came out and he was in sequence from head to toe. Yes. And he was still wearing a cheesy, like, little boy suit. You know what I mean?
He was,
like
he was over the top for this one, yeah. For Cornette, yeah.
I'm starting to appreciate old Jim Cornette more and more. Like, I am not kidding. Yeah, I love this guy. Anytime he was on wrestling in the 90s, he was fantastic and always entertaining, even up until when he was doing those spots on Sunday Night Heat with Shane, I believe it was.
I don't remember. This long time
ago. I know Cornette was on there a couple times, but
yeah. At the first, going back to my memory of our retro shows, yeah, he was at the early shows. The first, I won't say five.
Yeah. So so there you go. Eventually Luger does he beats down on Yokozuna after that bionic elbow and body slam. He takes out Fuji and Cornette, but then Mr. Perfect is just, he needs to go check on Fuji and Cornette first while Luger has the pinfall. And then Luger gets so mad, he like throws Mr. Perfect or grabs Mr. Perfect, and then Mr. Perfect calls for the bell because you're not supposed to put your hands on a referee. And DQ. Like, what? Like, what?
This is Mania, man. What the hell? Ugh.
Yeah. Like, it just, that to be the finish. I guess, like, if the real plan at the end of the day was to have Brett win the Rumble and then win the title, like, okay, this is kind of like, how do we get out of it? Easy thinking, not putting much thought behind it. This is just what kids watch, you know, or whatever. So I could see why they would do that, but at the same time, it's just like,
it's Mania. You're not supposed to have these type of, you know, shenanigans, matches, and endings. Ugh.
Yeah. Next up, we have Howard Finkel with Harvey Whippleman in the ring. Whippleman insults Finkel. He says, even though you have hair, you're still a Yankee, whatever, scumbag. And of course, they're in New York, so he gets booed out of the building. Mm-hmm. Finkel, he took out Whippleman, and that's when Adam Bomb comes out to the ring, and then Earthquake comes out to the ring and defeats Adam Bomb in a match in what, like 3 minutes, or like not even like
the last, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was very, very quick. But John Tenta,
one of our favorites, recent favorites, yes,
the only Hall of Famer in our Hall of Fame,
yeah, and you're right, big mainstay in our Sunday Night Heat matches.
Yeah, I don't just put anyone in that Hall of Fame. It's been 5 years since we started the show. No, there's only one person in there. Mm-hmm. Just saying. It takes a lot.
So he's the mainstay, yeah.
Next up, we have a look back at WrestleMania 8. Nobody really cared about that one. I mean, I guess nobody skipped 7. We skipped 7, too. So what was 7? 7 was Slaughter and Hogan. And then 8 was... Oh, that was the... Randy Savage and Ric Flair taking on the winner of Sid Justice and Hogan, right? It was like a tournament?
Like a small semifinals?
Yeah.
Type of tournament, yeah.
If you can call Ticketmaster to buy tickets right now at 317-239-5151.
Oh, that's funny.
I just look at the promotional poster, so. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was 8. Next up, Razor Ramon defeated HBK in a ladder match for the undisputed Intercontinental Championship. This was a great match.
It was a great match. Even for today's standards, it would be a good match.
They were beating the shit out of each other with a real ladder, not just a gimmick.
Yeah.
I mean, it looked real. Maybe they were just, they really cared back in the day and they're like, let's make it look like a real ladder.
I mean, I think they went to the nearest Home Depot and got one.
Because they only had one.
Yeah.
It's not like the ring was circled with ladders. Mm-mm. It's not like they were all lined up to the back. No,
there weren't a whole bunch underneath. There was nothing underneath.
And if that ladder would have broke, which it almost did, they would have been fucked.
Yes.
Like they would have had to lower those titles to like a step stool match or something.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's a no contest.
So these two guys go back and forth. Diesel gets ejected early on. Razor, though, like, okay, so HBK, he's doing his regular shit. You know what I mean? Like, overselling. Not dramatically overselling, but, you know, you could still tell if you're an HBK fan. And I feel like Razor wasn't really having it. You know what I mean? There was a few times he just kind of had a look in his face like, dude, fucking quit. And he would just, like, quickly, like, throw him over the ring or just go to the next move. So it was good on Razor for just, you know, having his own there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. HBK, eventually Razor exposes the concrete while HBK launches Razor into said concrete. HBK gets the ladder. The two begin berating each other with the ladder. Sean then goes up the ladder for Razor to pull him down. And I did not edit my notes here, but this was just one hell of a match.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We have pile drivers on pile drivers. Eventually, though, HBK's leg gets tied up in the ropes. That gives Razor a chance to grab the two titles and win. I mean, what can I say? This was a great match.
What a cool spot.
I mean,
that was perfect.
I did like, because it was like a super kick that he got his leg stuck in there, right?
I think so. It was either a super kick or he fell off of the ladder and landed. You know how they do that thing?
That sounds all right.
Right?
Yeah, that was a great spot to end the match. And I know I was sitting there like saying, oh, this was a dumb finish. But like this one, I could actually be like, okay. Yet it wasn't my favorite finish. Like I'm used to just people being knocked out and being a little bit more definitive, not just somebody being tied up backstage, hung upside down. it was kind of like the same thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The right leg took a beating today between Crush, Shawn Michaels, and then Bret Hart.
Yeah. So, I mean, hey, good on them. And do I have it? Look at it.
What's he going to show us, ladies and gentlemen? Oh, here it is.
So I can hear you. There we go. I just got this. It's my WrestleMania 10.
Oh, I love that thing. Yes.
Yeah. So,
and the ladder's accurate, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't have like the warning labels on it, but definitely, you know, orange ladder.
Very cool.
Next up, a look back at WrestleMania 9. And wow, I do love this because they are just working it to their advantage for this storyline tonight. You know, they're just like, WrestleMania 9, a miscarriages of injustice, you know, of injustice.
Yeah.
And I was just like, they're showing Mr. Fuji throwing the salt on Bret's eyes and then Yoko getting the pin. But that's it. You know, there was a big injustice there that night.
Yes, there was.
But it was not Mr. Fuji throwing salt in anyone's eyes. It was that bastard of a Hogan throwing his 24 inches around. You know what I mean? And having his way with the title.
And he only had one eye.
And he only had one eye because Macho Man just the day before at the breakfast or the lunch or whatever it was. It wasn't dinner. It was like a lunch or a breakfast.
Yeah, it was early in the day. Yeah.
Next up, main event: Bret Hart defeated Yokozuna to become the new WWF champion in 10 minutes. And really, 10 minutes?
Yeah, dude. The ladder match was only like 17.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. Okay, so 10 minutes and 38 seconds. This is when Burt Reynolds and Jenny Garth comes. Jenny Garth or Jenny Garth? Jenny Garth.
Garth. Yeah.
Because, Garth, like Wayne Garth. Wayne and Garth.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Roddy Piper is named a special guest referee for this match for some reason. And he did get a pretty big pop from the crowd. He did.
Yeah.
So.
And Jenny Garth looked uncomfortable. She looked like she didn't want to be there.
Did you see when they were coming out, like, was it Pat Patterson was with them and he was blocking hands left and right. And honestly though, she is walking in there with Burt Reynolds. Like the guy is like known as like the ultimate guys dude. But like in reality, when people have said that in the past, that just means like, he's kind of a sleazy motherfucker. You know what I'm saying?
They're expecting to get handsy. So she had a choice, deal with one handsy hand or 300 walking down the ring aisle.
And maybe that's why his hand was hurt. Maybe she That's what I hope. I hope it happened the first, like, she stabbed his back. Don't touch me, Burt Reynolds.
Do you hear that, Dark Side of the Ring, guys? Next investigation.
Next episode, Jenny Garth and Burt
Reynolds. Yeah.
So Yoko gets a jump on Brett as the bell rings. Yoko issuing slams and strikes. Brett hits a drop kick, goes for a second one, and Yoko does the Samoa Joe sidestep, but I don't think he was trying to do it on purpose. I think he's just like, fuck this, I'm out. So... Brett dodges a quote running splash from Yokozuna. Brett gets down, Brett gets Yoko down with a series of headbutts. That's when Cornette pulls Roddy out of the ring as he's counting a three count. Roddy knocks out Jim Cornette. Yoko begins to take over with friction growing between Yoko and Piper. Brett dodges a running splash, then hits a bulldog on Yoko. Yokozuna then catches Brett coming off the top rope, hits him with a belly to belly, which pretty good looking belly to belly.
Yes.
Yoko drags Brett to the corner, and it was very strange because Yoko is on the top rope, and just as Brett gets out of the way of the bonsai drop, he simultaneously loses balance, and then Brett just gets the pin and the win.
And I thought Brett was the one with the leg injury.
And then it just happened. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, okay, at this point, you know, I'm into the match, you know, remind me, did Brett do any type of legwork on Yokozuna?
No, I don't remember, because I was,
like, okay, anywhere honestly, down, anything?
Honestly, I'm not going to lie, I was sitting there waiting for someone to try to lock in the sharpshooter, because I remember at 9 how, like, bad it looked, because Yoko and not trying to rip on the guy had very big legs and it did not look good when Brett put it on him. And I wonder if that's why, if they were like, it looked really bad last time, let's not do that again, you know, because like, how is Yoko going to tap from that? Like, Brett's not putting pressure on him,
but it would totally make more sense that he lost his balance on the second rope because he was, you know, his leg was weak.
Definitely.
But they did none of that work.
It was just, but that's the thing. I think this is the story of Yokozuna, like, just getting too big. And then, it had to. It was like he was top heavy and he fell over.
Yeah.
That was the story that was told in that match. You know, he was too fat for gravity to hold him up.
Which is dumb because it's the obvious answer. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, no, definitely. And it doesn't make Brett look that credible of a, like, a.
Yeah. It looks like, whoops, Yokozuna played himself. What a, like, dummy. Right, that's your world champion.
Time. Yeah, that could have been Luger, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Could have been 1-2-3 Kid. It should have been Owen. It should have been him.
Yeah. A good companion to this WrestleMania, I would recommend the Scott Hall A&E special.
Yeah.
Very cool. Did they do with Dark Side of the Ring on Scott Hall? I don't remember.
I can't remember. Not this season. But,
yeah.
Yeah, maybe in the future. They don't usually, I don't remember them doing a lot of big names. Like, they do, like, it's always like, you know, like, Dino Bravo or, you know,
Terry Gordy.
So, what did you good match? I mean, it was a decent match, I guess.
It was a decent match. Yeah, it was cool. The ladder match should have been last, but how do you do the Intercontinental as the main event?
Not in the early 90s. No, nobody
would understand that. But, you know, that definitely, the ladder match was definitely the Macho Man and Ricky Steamboat of WrestleMania 3. It stole the show.
And then after the match, all the faces plus Donnie Wahlberg came out to celebrate with Bret Hart. They're all lifting up Bret, and then Owen comes out to the entrance ramp, and he's just shaking his head.
Yana, I can't wait to get you.
I beat you tonight, Bret. That should have been me. He's like, you know what? This gets me so angry. I'm gonna go get some construction tape and put it on my ear and hang out with Nation of Domination.
Sweet. Construction tape. That was a great outfit.
It was great. All right, that about does it here for us today. This is WrestleMania 10, guys. We're gonna have so much more WrestleMania coverage. If this is far into the future, go back and watch those shows about WrestleMania. Oh my god, that WrestleMania 40. Oh my god, what a night! What if you're watching before then? Wow, stay tuned for our prediction shows and all our other shows leading into
the above. Yeah,
I'm Corey Smith.
I'm Jose Osegueda.
And we will see you next time. Take care and have a wonderful day. Bye.